Just before we start today, are you a teacher? Most listeners aren't, because we aim this show at students. But if you are an educator of some form, I just wanted to let you know that I'm co-authoring a special series this month on effective studying with this week's podcast guest, Peps McRae, for his famous ultra-concise, ultra-high-value Evidence Snacks email newsletter. In the three-part series we've put together, I'm sharing some of my all-time favourite tips and tricks that I've learned over the years to help embed smarter study strategies in your school, helping students study smarter, not harder, going beyond the research recommendations to figure out exactly what we need to be telling students to help them put good ideas into practice. In the email series, I'm even giving away some of my teaching resources so you can pick up some ready-to-teach lessons so you can deliver these ideas directly into your school. So you get slides, a little video, and even a workbook for your learners. Follow the link in the episode description to catch up on any emails in the series that you might have missed so far, and then sign up to Peps's Evidence Snacks email list to get the rest of the series delivered directly to your inbox. For everyone else listening, all my non-teacher friends studying hard for their exams at school, university and more, I just wanted to say, especially if your exams are coming up soon over the next few weeks, hang in there, my friends, keep going, you've got this. And now, here's today's episode.
Welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast, helping you ace your exams at school and university through the psychology of high performance and the science of studying smarter, not harder. It's my pleasure to introduce your host, the Cambridge-trained memory psychologist and exam success coach, William Wadsworth!
Hello and welcome, my fellow scholars, to today's episode on time management mastery with guest expert Dr. Frank Buck. Frank has a PhD in time management, which is not something you come across every day. And even for a productivity nerd like me, who's read a ton of books on the subject and teaches about it, I still found myself saying, yep, I got to hand it to you, Frank. That's genius. Add a couple of points in our conversation today. So if you're looking to get organized, stay on top of things, even when things get busy and hectic, save time on things that don't matter to spend more time on the things that do, well, you're in the right place. I'll be back at the end to unpack a couple of my favourite ideas from Frank today and explain exactly why I thought they were so good. But there's tons of great stuff in this conversation. I really, really enjoyed this interview and I think you will too. So stay tuned as we welcome Dr. Frank Buck to the Exam Study Expert Podcast. Let's dive in. Dr. Frank Buck, a very warm welcome to the Exam Study Expert Podcast.
William, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our talk together.
Me too. So you're known as a real expert in the field of time management and organization. And we were chatting just before we hit record just now. And I think you mentioned that some of the origins of that were you actually doing a doctorate in the field of time management. So I wondered if maybe just tell us a little bit about your research and how that kind of led to, I guess, what you're doing today.
Well, absolutely. I was a junior high band director. After 12 years, went into school administration. So as I approached my doctorate, what did I want to do the doctorate on? I was very interested in organization, time management. I had really credited those characteristics with school and my career having been pretty easy. So I did my dissertation was a study of the time management practices of Alabama principals. So of course, in doing that, you got to pretty much read everything that's ever been written on time management. One of the things that came out of it was there's a lot written on time management, but very little aimed at school people. What we had to do was sort of take what was written for the business world and apply it. So I thought, well, why don't I go out there and go the other way? Why don't I write things for school people that can be applied to everybody else? So the dissertation spawned a workshop for administrators and teachers that grew. And I've now been as far away as Australia to help people develop systems that just make this life easier. Never thought I would end up where I am when I started out as a junior high band director. But as I look back over the course, you know, there were tracks along the way.
That's fascinating. I'd love to talk more about some of your actionable tips and strategies for us. But I guess just one question before we dive into that, which is, you've obviously got quite a lot of real world experience talking to people about this. I wonder if you could speak to some of the kind of universal challenges and pain points people have around this subject. What are the sort of the problems we're trying to fix with all of this stuff?
Well, in today's world, there are so many options. There's so much input. And for students today, you know, everybody's got a phone. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Well, there's Facebook, there's Instagram. They're all the distractions that we did not have when I was a student. In fact, during my college years, we didn't even have a TV. I'd go through an entire semester without looking at television. And to be honest, I really didn't miss anything. So keeping the focus, being able to keep front and center what it is you need to be doing so that you're not distracted by all the other things that are bright and shiny and attractive. I think that's a real challenge for people today, for students today. But I think the big similarity is having a system that puts everything in one place so that it's easy to see the things that you need to be doing and that they are hopefully more attractive than the distractions that would keep you from doing what's on that list.
So, I mean, a lot of the students I talk to and work with, a universal challenge I see is a bit like what you're saying. You know, so many ambitious students have a huge number of tasks that they're juggling at any one time. And there'll be some things that they need to do for tomorrow or a few days' time. And then there'll be other things that are, you know, ongoing assignments, exams to prepare for, you know, a few weeks away, a few months away. And then there might be even longer term projects on top of that. So maybe there's sort of applications for jobs or the next step in academia kind of rumbling in the background. So, you know, this mix of all these different tasks, short term, long term, different domains, you know, the academic domain is only one of the domains in any person's life. Mm-hmm. There's also sort of extracurricular activities, you know, maybe they're in a band as well. And, you know, they have stuff for band practice or they're a sports person or they got to learn the lines for a play. And then, you know, the kind of career domain, and then just sort of taking care of social stuff, making sure you send your auntie a birthday card and just taking care of those kind of day-to-day things. It's no wonder some people are feeling overwhelmed faced with all of this. Mm-hmm. I wonder what your advice is then for unpicking this kind of tangle of stuff and trying to get some clarity on, you know, where to start and how to stay organized with it all.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the answer to that, and of course, we're in a very digital world. But let's go back to Frank as a high school senior, 1976, when there was not a computer to be found anywhere. I had been a good student. And up to that point, you know, I could get my homework done during study hall. I was that kid who never took a book home. School was easy. And I could get by with, I could jot something on a piece of paper and stick it in a textbook, and I'd probably see it at the right time. I could keep up. I could remember most of my stuff. Senior year was a little bit different. There was more going on, and I realized what had been working okay to this point was not working anymore, and that what I needed was a system that put everything in one place. And so what I came up with was an index card. On the front of the card was everything I needed to do that day, any appointment, any to-dos on the card. And then for future days, here was this little metal 3x5 box. So anything in the future I had, well, there was a card for that day with that written on it. So every morning, my job was to grab the card, look at it, stick it in my pocket, and do what the card said. Now, a lot of the magic was anything that came up during the day, I flipped on the back of the card and jotted it down. So you got a first period, teacher gives you the homework, jot it on the back of the card. Second period, teacher gives you the homework, jot it on the back of the card. Third period, pretty girl gives you her phone number, jot it on the back of the card, not on your arm where you wash your hands and it's gone. Fifth period, teacher says, okay, we're going to have a term paper. Your term paper is going to be due April the 15th on the back of the card. Term paper due April 15th. And now I don't have to worry about forgetting. It's all there on that card. And when I get home, I've got exactly one job, clear the card. So I can do the homework, the phone number. Now I can put it in my address book. I can take everything and put it where it needs to go. The term paper, long-term project. Well, I can go and do I already have a card for the day it's due? If not, make a card, term paper due. Okay. If it's due that day, when do I want to have it typed? Yeah. And just work backwards. What are all the to-dos involving this term paper? I didn't have to write all those in the moment in English class. I could just put term paper April 15th, and I'd earned the right to forget about it. At that point, I'd earned the right to forget about the phone number, the homework. Later in the day, I'm reviewing it again. I'm putting things where they need to go. And that's Frank 1976 with an index card. Take everything I said, and now it's the student with a phone. That open up that digital to-do list, and there's everything for today. And then as you go through the day, as soon as it hits your radar, it goes into that to-do app. When you get home, you look in the little inbox and you go, oh, let me clean up the wording on some of these things. Let me assign due dates for each of these things. Here's this big project. Let me break it down into the little steps and assign dates for all of those things. Now I earn the right to forget about it in the year 2024. The tools change. The principles behind them stay exactly the same.
I think that's great advice. I like how clear it is that you're just sort of capturing all those things as they come in. There's, you know, never ambiguity about, oh, you know, there's this thing I need to remember and, oh, you know, what if I forget it? Just all gets captured. And then you've got that time set aside each evening to kind of file away those things. So they all have their home, whether it's writing a number in an address book or putting a to-do list item in for, you know, 3 months' time or something you just get on and get done and cross off that evening. Yeah, so there's that kind of capturing, that sort of, I guess, digesting and putting it all in its place and then just getting on and doing it.
Yeah. And what I teach people is that there are really three distinct steps. First, you're trapping, or as you said, capturing everything. Just get it all in one place. And then second, organize it. What is this? What does it mean to me? Let me word it clearly. And then the doing the work. That's the easy part.
Depends how hard your work is. But yeah. So you mentioned the digital equivalent. I mean, just to get a little bit specific, do you have any sort of recommended tools, or is it just a question of, oh, you know, see what works for you? And there's lots of different options. Different people prefer different ones.
Yeah, there are a lot of them out there. I use Remember the Milk, located at rememberthemilk.com. I don't get any money from them. I'm just a devoted user. So I set up a free account, download the companion app so that anything you put one place, you see the other. And so from either place, you just open it and I'm looking at here's today. Here's everything that has a due date of today or is overdue. So if I don't get something done today, it just stays on the list. I never have to write a to-do list. You know, never again. And then to break things down further, people say, well, Frank, you know, what if you have a lot of things, but some of them you can only do in the evening and some of them need to be done in the morning? How do you organize that list if it's fairly long? And I say, okay, easy. Everything's going to get a due date. And then a priority field. I remember the milk, for example, has four priorities. So I take the five that I want to see at the very top of the list and give them the top priority. I call it my Fab Five. And then what do I want to see in the morning? Give it that next priority. Afternoon, the next. Evening, the next. And the list is sorted by priority. So in the morning, I open, here's my list for today. They're the Fab Five at the top, followed by here's my morning, here's my afternoon, here's my evening. See, a lot of people say, well, I want to put all that on my calendar because I hear people say what you put on the calendar gets done. Well, I like to keep my calendar very clear so that the things that are on my calendar are things like this interview that you and I are having now, where we have to be a specific place, a specific time. But most of the things on my list are not like that. That phone call, I want to make it this morning. 9 o'clock's fine. 9:15's fine. I don't have to nail it down. So that instead of having a calendar that's got all of these things with fake times, the only thing on my calendar are those things that really do have a time. And my tasks are on that list with a big block of morning, afternoon, evening. And at the top, they're my Fab Five. And that lives and that breathes. And that list is doing my remembering for me, so that a lot of stuff on my list for today. But the only thing I'm thinking about right now is this conversation that you and I are having.
It's really interesting you brought up the calendar. That was actually going to be my next question, because I think one of the most commonly, I guess, advised strategies I hear for students today in terms of, oh, you know, how to start managing my time better 101 is using your kind of calendar as the first place to start. And it's interesting, like, I'm a bit like you. I prefer not to have too many things on my calendar. I prefer to keep it that way unless it's a specific timed appointment.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the things about the way a lot of students use their calendar is they're blocking out, it's less they've got specific tasks to do so much as they just need to make general progress on major long-term projects, be it a piece of writing or be it, you know, studying for a particular course.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll kind of put in their calendar, you know, okay, on Monday mornings, that's my time to study, you know, chemistry 101, and then go have some lunch. And then after that, I've got a class. And then when I get back from that class, I'll do a bit of English literature writing for a couple of hours. And that's kind of how they, I guess, create some control over making sure those long-term projects keep getting advanced, because they have that reminder in their calendar and they know they've got some time set aside. And when it gets to that bit of the day, of the week,
mm-hmm.
it's the job of that time slot to make progress on that particular project, the idea of a, you know, some kind of study routine. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, you do what works. So for the student, that if they see a calendar that's pretty open, they go, oh, you know, yeah, I can go party. I can go, yeah. If they need to see time blocked off in their calendar to study for this subject, work on this term paper, yeah, I think that's fine. And you have things like Google Calendar that allow you to overlay multiple calendars. If they wanted to have one calendar that's sort of, this is my weekly template that I would like to, my week look like this. And then they have their main calendar that these are the physical times I absolutely have to positively be there. And then you have them both turned on and you see, this is what I've absolutely positively got to do. And overlaid with that, this is what I really need to be doing. But then the real specific things like, this part, you know, this assignment wasn't very clear. I need to email my professor to ask a question about this. That's the kind of thing I definitely would not put on the calendar. I would put that on a to-do list, because one, you know, a calendar doesn't give you any place to check it off as done. You pretty much just got to remember what's done and what isn't, or delete things off the calendar as you complete them. And anything you don't complete, well, now you got to drag it over to the next day on your calendar. And to me, that's just a little more work than what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. I like the idea of having because of the separate calendars and using them for the kind of different purposes to keep things organized into your appointments versus your weekly template, your routine. So one other question that sometimes comes up when I'm kind of having conversations with students about this sort of thing, and this tends to kick in perhaps at a slightly younger age, so before we've kind of got to, we're in college or university, and there's a real sort of overwhelming amount of things to manage, and, you know, you wouldn't hope to succeed unless you had some kind of system, even if it's perhaps not the best yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for slightly younger students, you know, middle school, early years of high school, some find they can get away without having some kind of system to remember their to-do list items. So they, you know, they're just remembering their homework and their assignments in their head, using a kind of a sporadic version of writing them down just because that's what their teacher says they have to do. And they're kind of getting away with it. They're getting stuff in. They're not missing deadlines. And so they go, well, why do I need this stuff?
Yeah,
I have got some thoughts on that, but I wondered what you'd have to say to that kind of approach.
Having been in the arena, and especially as a middle school assistant principal, that, you know, middle school, of course, it's a weird age anyway. You know, students are going through puberty. Their parents are going, he's never been like this. It's like, yeah, he's never gone through puberty before. You know, get ready. You know, we see it all day, every day. And they had come from elementary schools where they were basically with the same teacher all day long. They did a lot of their organizing for them. You know, who at the end of the day would say, all right, now let's go over what's our homework for tonight. What are you going to need to take home with you? And the student is really kind of following the teacher's directions. And they had that one teacher that the next morning would say, Johnny, did you bring your permission slip? So now they're in middle school. They've got seven different teachers. The structure that their teacher had for them, that one teacher, is gone. Now they got seven different teachers. There has to be the system. So it became very evident to me as a middle school assistant principal that having a tool, like a student planner was crucial. I went from that position to being an elementary school principal, where I didn't think that would be as necessary, but we did institute them. And what we found was in kindergarten, it really didn't work. But starting as early as first grade, it was all the difference in the world. It was the one place that students could write things down. And we said to the parents, if you only do one thing to help your student, look at their planner every night. And so for the teachers, we said, now, if you need to write the parent a two-line sentence, instead of writing it on a piece of paper where it goes in the book bag and it's lost until the midsummer, jot it in the student's planner. The parent will see it that night, can respond right there in the planner, and you've got some ongoing communication all year long that doesn't require any technology. And then as the principal, every Monday morning, we started the morning announcements by saying to everyone, open your planners. Here's what's coming up this week. And from first grade up, they're writing in their planners. On Wednesday, this is happening. On Friday, we're having school pictures. So write on Friday square, school pictures. Now you need to pick something nice to wear. So on Thursday square, let's write down, pick something to wear. So I'm helping them think through these thoughts so that later they'll be thinking through them themselves. So, you know, instead of teachers saying, okay, students, don't forget, let's just replace don't forget with open your planner and tell them what to write and where to write it. Teach the skill just like you'd teach anything else. And then the students begin to hear that little voice in their head, you know, open your planner, write it down. And then they begin to do this not only in their schoolwork, but in their personal life as well. That if it's important, I don't want to forget. I've learned if I write it in my planner, I don't have to worry about forgetting. It's going to be right there for me.
And I guess if you're, you know, starting to develop activities outside the classroom as well, you can start to use your planner. You know, you're already having to put your school stuff in your planner. So if that's already in place, using that as the basis for your system to then capture the other stuff too. I need to learn my lines, or I need to practice my oboe for an upcoming exam, or whatever it is. So to come back to your kind of core approach of, you know, the trapping, the organizing, the doing, and you mentioned Remember the Milk as kind of being your go-to app to do this in. When you kind of teach this, what are some of the other sort of practical things that come up when they start to put this into action? Any other kind of little questions or kind of considerations that often tend to rear their head when people start to get to grips with this strategy for the first time?
Yeah, that phone is in your pocket. So how do I, you know, for that phone call that does have to be made at 9:15, how's that going to happen? And what I found when I first started using Remember the Milk was any task that not only had a date, but it also had a time associated with it, I got a little audible reminder so that even though that phone is in my pocket, there's that very distinct reminder. And of course, and I have my reminders really honed down so that I'm not getting reminders about all sorts of things, Twitter and Facebook and all of that. So that if I get a reminder, it really does mean something where I need to pull out my phone and take a look at it. Things that are appointments on my calendars or things that are to-dos that actually have a time associated with them. So that is one consideration. Another advantage that people often overlook is all of these little tasks that we have that repeat, things that you have to do every week at the same time, every month, every year, you can mark those as repeating tasks. So you do it, you check it off, it goes away, it comes back when you need to do it again. Education is full of these little cycles. You know, education is such a cyclic business. We open school every year. We close school every year. And you have those same tasks that are associated with those same major projects. Trap those things in Remember the Milk. Make them repeating tasks. And then year two is a breeze. There they all are for you. It's just, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone probably wants to remember, you know, friends or loved ones' birthdays or significant, you know, anniversaries. And ideally, you want to remember it not on the day it's happening. So you've got time to get them a card.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess you put your notifications in for a week before or a fortnight before or whatever you need, you know, so that you've got then time to get the card, get it in the post, whatever it is you need to do.
Let me tell you a neat little trick that I have. And birthday cards is it's kind of the prime example. I have my tickler file. And this is something that I learned from my dad when I was like 8 years old. It's like the paper version of Remember the Milk. 31 folders labeled 1 through 31, and then 12 more folders, January, February, March. So that anything that is paper-based that you need to see at some time in the future, you ask, when do I want to see this again? If it's in the next 31 days, drop it in the numbered folder. If it's further out than that, drop it in the appropriate month. So for birthday cards, I have a list of the people that I want to get them for. I handle it all at one time. I select a card for everybody, sign it, seal it, actually run address labels. I put them on there. And then where the postage stamp is going to go, put the date that the card needs to go in the mail in order to get it there. So I'm using a time management technique called batching. So I'm handling birthday cards for the whole year in one sitting. And then all I have to do is drop them in the tickler file. And then all throughout the year, there they are. So I don't have to put anything in my calendar or anything on my to-do list. Don't even have to make them repeating tasks. It's all handled at one time. And so I tell people I only do two things during the day. I check the tickler file. There's all the paperwork I'm going to handle today. For example, I'm going to go to the bank later today, and I have several checks to deposit. So instead of going one day and depositing a check, go another day, I just said, let me throw this in the tickler file for Thursday. And then as another couple of came in, throw them in the tickler file for Thursday. And then today, well, they all are. So nothing ever gets lost. So I check the tickler file. I look at my task list. So there's everything. They're my marching orders for the day.
Yeah, I love that thing about the birthday cards. I thought you were going to say, you know, you buy all your birthday cards at the start of the year and then put them in the right month in your tickler file so you get to them and then you've already, you don't need to go out and buy them. And for whatever reason, I didn't get as far as thinking about, oh, well, I write them all and I address them all.
Yeah, go ahead, sign them, seal them, return address sticker on all of them at one time. And it just, gosh, that is so simple. One lady who was in a workshop, and I was talking about this, and she said, well, now I use tickler files. And she said, let me give you an example of how I use mine. She said, I always wanted to get better about thanking people for things, but I would never think about it when I had access to note cards. So one January, I bought myself 52 nice thank you notes with matching envelopes and scattered them out through my tickler file. So that about once a week, there would be a blank note card in its envelope. And that was my trigger to just simply stop, take 2 minutes to write a thank you note to somebody. And so people started to think of her as being more thoughtful. She was always thoughtful. She was just forgetful. So having the good system made her come across as the thoughtful person that she always had been.
I'm a convert. I'm going to go and get myself a tickler file, Frank. That's great. So there's one other little point I wanted to touch on with you, Frank, and that's the world of correspondence. So we kind of flirted with this when we were talking about postal correspondence. But of course, you know, most of the vast bulk of the way we communicate with each other today is digital. So through email and increasingly through other forms of, you know, WhatsApp or Snapchat or, you know, whatever it is for you varies around the world. What are your sort of biggest tips or watch outs when it comes to managing our digital communications?
I'm one of those guys where at the end of the day, my email inbox is empty and people go, how do you manage that? I've got tens of thousands. And I say, okay, tell me about the metal mailbox in front of your house. The postman comes each day and he puts mail in there, right? And they go, yeah. I says, at the end of the day, how much mail's in there? They go, well, it's empty. I take it out of the post, out of the mailbox, and I handle it. I go, this is a bill. Let me put it over here. And these are the things to do. Oh, these are, I just need to file this. Oh, I can throw this away. So you handle your email the same way. So for example, so many emails that we get, there's something that we need to do as the result. So people leave them in their email inbox as a reminder of what they need to do. And it is so disorganized. With something like Remember the Milk, I have a little email address that Remember the Milk gives to me. If I forward an email to that address, it goes on Remember the Milk. So I just hit forward. I change the subject line to read whatever I want the to do to be. I can actually add the date right out beside that. And it winds up on Remember the Milk for that day. And the entire body of the email becomes a little attached note. So now all of the to-dos are on my to-do list. If it's something where it's just reference information. So as a student or as a professional, after you've graduated, where do you put reference information? For some people, it's Evernote. For some people, it's Google Drive. Well, wherever it is, if that email is a good piece of reference information that needs to be filed, rather than setting up some additional filing system in email, you can forward it to Google Drive. You can forward it to Evernote. And the things that I just need to save it in case I ever need it again. Here's this email I've been told I need to document. So here's this email. There's no action, but what if I need to put my hands on that 5 years from now? Well, you just archive it. I have literally sat down with people with 63,000 was the record of a magazine exec, 63,000 emails in his inbox. We just archived it. We had him go through and what has come in the last few days where you still need to take some action, to put something on your calendar, something you need to do that we can now forward to your to-do list, what needs to be filed. And then here were these thousands upon thousands of, I'm saving it in case I ever need it again. So let's just archive it all. Boom. And now it's an empty inbox. You can search the archive just as easy as you can search the inbox. But now it's just like the mailbox in front of your house. It's empty at the end of the day. So for me, anything in my email inbox represents a decision that I have yet to make. And it's just that simple.
It's great. I like how you kind of bring your systems together. So you've not got this kind of fragmented, lots of things to remember in different places, but it just all kind of gets sucked into this as few places as possible. You know, maybe you need a paper place and a digital place, but that's it.
That's the secret. You know, and even things like, you know, you come across a YouTube video and I want to go back and watch that later instead of having something that you do in YouTube to save that. And something over here to save that, I just say, all right, let me grab the URL. Let me create a new task to watch this video. Boom, just paste the link there. And in Remember the Milk, it's a clickable link. So I can just click my little tag that says watch. And there's everything right there in Remember the Milk that I wanted to watch when I had some additional time. So it's all in one place instead of being all over the place.
I think a point I really want to emphasize is you're known as an expert in time management. And a lot of this is about managing your time, but it's also, I think it's important to remember, it's also about managing your kind of mental clutter as well. And I think a lot of people don't realize how much mental bandwidth is going into just remembering some of this basic stuff day to day and worrying about going and getting that birthday card, going and checking, like even if you've started in YouTube, the fact that you need to then go into YouTube and check that you've got things in there, to, you know, and you might have 10 different places to go and check. We had Brian Tracy on the podcast a couple of years back, and he talked about how for some execs, it takes them like hours to write down all the different like to-do list and task list things that are floating around in their mind, and literally hours, you know, just the amount of like weight that gets lifted from your shoulders when you no longer have to remember all that. And it's just all gets captured and you can like free up your brain. As David Allen says, your brain is for having ideas, not for holding them.
Having ideas, not holding them. Yes. So true. And, you know, and you mentioned worry. And we spend so much time worrying about what we're forgetting. And we don't know that life could be any different until we experience it, until we have a system that we can trust that what we need to see is going to appear when we need to see it. And one example that I give, now where I live, I have to renew my driver's license every 4 years. And nobody sends me a card in the mail saying, hey, Frank, your driver's license is due in 2 months. That one's on me. I have a repeating task, renew driver's license. It appears every 4 years, 1 month before my driver's license expires. So I have absolutely no idea when my driver's license expires, to tell you the truth, but I have every confidence that a month ahead of time, it's going to appear on the list and it's going to sit there until I get it renewed and check it off. multiplied by how many little bitty things like that do I have in my life, or you have in your life, all the listeners have in their lives that are just like that. The task is easy. What's hard is keeping up with all those stinking little bitty tasks. We get caught up in the weeds.
Wonderful. Well, look, I think that feels like a great note to end on. I think, yeah, I mean, it's been such fun chatting, and I think, so many great bits of advice. If there was one final thing you'd drop in, if there's one thing you're kind of itching to share, a little sort of bite-sized, quick little thing, is there anything you think we've missed that would be helpful just to sneak in at the end?
You know, I think we've covered so much, and I think we really have hit the high spot. Somebody's got a tickler file, they've got a digital list, they've got a place for their digital notes. They have just now gone to the head of the class. Have the good system, use the system, life gets easier.
Well, Frank, thank you so much once again for coming on the show. It's been so fun to chat, and I'm going to go and get myself a tickler file and sort out all my birthday cards for the year ahead. I think that's great.
There you go. Yeah.
If people want to find out more about you and your work, where do we go next?
Come over to my website, frankbuck.org. I've been blogging since like 2005. So just the blog section alone, anything you want, you know, if it's more, I want to learn more about Remember the Math. I want to learn more about Google Calendar. Whatever it is, if it deals with organization, time management, chances are I've written something about it. So it's all there. It's all free. I've got an email list that you can jump on that you'll see. Got two really nice free gifts. One of them is how to set up and use Remember the Milk, like I have mine, and totally free. So frankbuck.org, we hope to see everybody there.
Superb. Well, thank you very much once again. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, William.
Well, thanks again, Frank. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for all the tips and tricks. And again, do check out the links to Frank's stuff. I'll put that in the show notes for today's episode. I wanted to share a concluding thought on today's conversation, and that's to pick up on one nugget I particularly enjoyed from Frank today, the bit about writing your birthday cards at the start of the year. I thought it was worth just pausing on why this is so good and some of the wider lessons this point teaches us. As someone who strives to be good at sending cards to friends and family, but often falls short, this one particularly struck a chord with me. But it wasn't just about that. It was also about some of the reasons behind why I think it's so good. So let's just unpack this. Firstly, it's the principle of batching. So by taking maybe a couple of hours in January to go out, buy all the cards you need for the year ahead, for birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, whatever, write and address them, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you save maybe 3, 5, maybe 10 times that time versus if you were going to do the cards piecemeal through the year. This is what batching is all about. It's the idea that if you do things less often, but hit a big batch of things all at once, it takes you less time overall. So in the cards example, it might take you an hour to go and buy one card at the shop, and so 10 hours to buy 10 separate cards throughout the year. But by buying all 10 at once in one visit, that could only take maybe like an hour and 10 minutes. So like you save yourself 9 hours, 50 minutes through the year by doing it all in one trip. Massive time saving. And even if you buy your cards online, a similar logic applies. It may not be quite so dramatic, but you save yourself going through checkout 10 times or however many it is, and you only need to go through a checkout once for a basket of 10 cards. And then after that, you only need to only get your address book or contact forms out once. You only need to do one trip rather than 10 to the postbox. Batching things frees up time. So think about how you can apply the principle of batching to your life in other areas. So the example I often come back to is in my university days, my family used to tease me for saving up 3 weeks worth of laundry and doing it all in one go. But I just found that to be way more time efficient. It took maybe 2 hours to do 1 week of laundry. But then to do 3 weeks worth of laundry, it took maybe only 2.5 hours. So it's an extra half hour. But I was only doing that once every 3 weeks rather than 2 hours every single week. So every 3 weeks, I was effectively saving myself 3.5 hours by batching it all to a thrice weekly rather than weekly process. My other favourite example is batching and clearing your emails each day in maybe just one or two big hits rather than piecemeal through the day. And there's another benefit to the So a couple of these examples, beyond the simple time-saving logic of the batching. And that is the benefit that is about, I touched on this in our conversation with Frank, it's about this business of, you know, freeing up your attention, your brain power, not having to worry about or ruminate on things. So, but this applies both to the original birthday card example and to my email example just now. So by doing your cards at the start of the year, you're not only freeing up the time, but it's also saving you a ton of kind of mental overhead, just thinking about cards that you've got to write or send. You know, in any given week, I probably have some card or cards outstanding, either ones to buy, to write an address, to buy stamps for, or to post. And it's not just the time it takes to do those various steps. It's kind of the fact that, you know, in my quiet moments, that thought pops into my head, or even when I'm trying to get some work done, those thoughts are sort of lurking around in the back of my mind. There's always some bit of card-related admin on my mind that I need to do. Again, the brain is for having ideas, not for holding ideas. So by clearing all that mental clutter, of not having to worry about whatever card-related admin I need to do next, just freeing up a lot of brain power for other things throughout the year. Exactly the same idea with batching your email. So if you're constantly checking email or other messages throughout the day, even if you're not actually taking the time to respond to the messages as they come in, they are still playing on your mind. You're still wondering about what someone said, what it means, ruminating on how you'll respond. And just generally, that's creating a whole load of mental overhead that starts to eat into your mental bandwidth and brain power that you could otherwise be using to crack through your primary tasks in front of you more quickly, and perhaps helping improve your ability to engage with more complex materials, so paying attention in an electoral class, getting your head around reading material, learning your flashcards, and so on. Like, the more of our brain power we keep free and clear to dedicate to our primary task, the better we'll be able to do that task and the quicker we'll be able to get through it. So a big goal, whenever we're talking about sort of productivity, is helping clear your mind of that kind of mental junk, mental clutter, and many of Frank's tips today help us to do that. If you've been enjoying the general vibe of this week's episode, then I think you'll really enjoy next week's as well, when I will be sharing a few of my favourite kind of lists that help to keep me more productive each week. I'll bet there'll be some new and juicy ideas for you in there. And if you want to go further on the topic of study productivity, you might also want to check out my course, Productivity Power Up Pack. That's at examstudyexperts.com/productivity. It's 3 deep dive masterclasses on overcoming procrastination, building unshakable focus, and taming your task list, and even boosting your energy. Plus, a bonus lesson on my exact study routine that got me a first class degree from Cambridge. All the things, all the strategies, all the encouragement you need to help you find focus, get moving and stay organized in your studies, and ultimately help you get more done in less time with less stress. Again, that's at examstudyexperts.com/productivity. Or if you're a Study Smarter Network member, the Productivity Power Up Pack is, as with all of my courses, included in your member benefits. So if you haven't taken a look at that one yet, do go out and check it out in your class library. For today, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed this one, and I look forward to seeing you on the podcast again soon. For now, wishing you every success in your studies.
Just before you go, did you know you can hire William as your very own coach and mentor to show you the stress-free way to ace your exams by studying smarter, not harder? Find out how at examstudyexpert.com/coaching.